Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Stay hungry. Yeah, you look so pretty.
Thank you so much.
Gosh, wow. Is it been like weeks since you've done your hair? You have so much hair.
It's the first time I've curled it, because normally what I do is I just put like air cream. Styling. Yeah, it's called air cream. The brand's like Kathleen something from Target, and it's meant to just be like texturizing. And so with my curly hair, it's just wet, put a little of that cream in it, walk out the door, and then I just go like natural curls. But today I actually put the curler.
I feel so special.
Oh, you know, it's Friday.
I know, right? Okay, everybody. Hello. Welcome to Humble and Hungry. I'm your friend, Natalie Pouchet. I have my beautiful cousin on, Tanya. Hello.
Hi. It's so weird when you say my name.
I know. It is really weird. What am I supposed to call you? The fourth sister?
No. Well, I love that. But I don't know. Like, I never hear you call me Tanya unless we're in like a public setting. Like, I just have vivid memories of you and I in Vegas, and you'd be like introducing me, and you'd be like, hi, this is my cousin, Tanya. And
I know.
Just kind of giggle.
I know.
Remember that Fullerton party we went to, and the guy, I told him my name was Tanya.
Oh, yes. We said this story.
Oh my God. Have we? It's like my favorite story.
I know. It gets the party going. Yeah, but that's also like when you're like when your significant other or your kids call you by your name. Like Piper said my name the other day, and I was like, that is weird, and you should not call me that. Like, that's just odd. I am Mom. I am not Natalie. Like, it's just weird.
Yeah, that is weird. It's probably weird for them too when they find out that your name isn't Mom.
Yeah, I don't remember when I found out my parents' names, actually, now thinking about it. Well, obviously,
I know. My mom has the same name as me. So I found out anytime I needed to buy something, she'd be like, here, take my ATM card. And I'd be like,
do we know why she called you the same name? Is it like a narcissist thing?
I was going to say, this is a great lead into what we wanted to kind of talk about today. I thought about that. I'm like, would I name my kid Tanya too?
No, I would never call my kid Natalie. I find it so weird.
I actually really like my name now, so I kind of want to name my kid Tanya, but I also would
like
never
let them
want to
have their own identity.
Child. Yes, but then it's nice when you want to use their credit card. So, but
yeah,
now
that's even more reason.
You can just give a kid a credit card in their own name if you want to. So,
I've been reading. I mean, Instagram is so good for just like educational things, but I've been seeing so many like business things about like how to make your kid, you know, a millionaire by the time they're like 30. And it's like, you know, raise their credit by adding them to the thing, put them on your payroll and pay them $1,200 $12,500 a year. Like all these tips to basically set your kids up. But then a part of me feels like lazy motherfuckers. No, you guys need to work and you need to earn. Like I hate the idea of leaving Piper millions of dollars. Like I hate that idea. And I don't know if it's because I'm like a little jealous and envious that that didn't happen to me, but a part of me just feels like, I don't know, I want you to sort of like hustle and like work for it and not just like sit back on your laurels and just be like, yeah, I know I got money coming to me, so I don't really have to do shit. Like follow your passions, follow your dreams, like be successful. And by the way, maybe you don't want to have a lot of money and you want to just like live off grid and travel the world. I don't know.
You know who's on that train? Ashton Kutcher.
And I feel like a lot of people are like, no, I want my kids to work for what they have. This is my money. This is my thing. Yeah.
Steve Harvey too is like, no, I'm rich. You are not.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. They say, and I'm really conscious of this too, is that the third generation always ruins the business, like the family business.
Yes. I've heard that.
Because the first person who runs it, they're like hustle their butt off. The second generation watch the first one work their ass off, and they're like, I've got to keep this up. The third one is like entitlement. That's an overstretch, but that's the general posture, right?
Yeah.
And they didn't watch the hustle. They didn't watch the sacrifice.
You lose the culture. You lose. Yeah. You lose like the ethos of like why this started in the first place. And then it just starts to become literally just about the money and that's like the devil working in you.
Yeah.
I don't like
it. And I worry about that too, even culturally, like with our Hispanic heritage, is how do we pass that like salsa, the spiciness on to our kids as it kind of, for lack of a better word, gets diluted. Yeah. Like I want to send my kids to Mexico for like a month or like go as a family and be like enriched in the culture for, you know, because like even when we go to Mexico, we come back and we're like, oh, we have all the like the buzzwords and you know.
And
then we get here and we're like, hey.
I know, it's so true. Well, I'm doing a terrible job because I don't speak to Piper in Spanish because, again, it's very difficult when your significant other doesn't speak the language. So it's like you just innately want to speak to them in that language.
I know.
And I feel like we also weren't although we were raised in our household speaking Spanish, we still went and lived our lives and, you know, you did the college thing. We lived on our own and we were speaking English. It wasn't like we were still living with our moms until we were 30 speaking Spanish and with our grandmothers and like that very like, you know, cultural kind of upbringing. And so for me, I don't just naturally want to speak to her in Spanish. But then when we go to Mexico, I'm like, oh my God, it's so beautiful. I need to do it. So that's why I want to put her in dual immersion. But it's like, why am I going to spend $3,000 a month when I could be doing that myself? It's like, it's a real hard, like, struggle.
How long before she goes to kindergarten?
She has another year.
Okay.
So, but this is like the time. She's three. Like, she's almost four. This is the time to like really speak to her because she's just absorbing all of it. But it's just so hard.
I know. I mean, I don't know, but I can imagine. But that's like a thing that I want to be held accountable to when I have my kids. Like, and I'm getting a live-in nanny who only speaks Spanish.
Yeah, I mean, it's smart. If you can afford it, obviously, yes, do it. but mama can't afford that right now. Okay, so let's do a little housekeeping for everybody. What's going on with you? How's life since last time we talked, which was literally in Oaxaca?
Life is interesting. I will probably come on here and tell you guys about the week that I've had, but I'm still processing my week. But I've had some things go on with my uterus, and I just haven't really processed it yet, so... Today
we had a lot of uterus talks this week.
Yeah. And you guys have a lot of uterus talks too. So I'm like just trying to take care of myself physically and then take care of like my mental and emotional, everything else capacity. Because not only did I have my own medical issues this week, but I also had a really good friend of mine. Her mom passed away suddenly. So this is somebody I went to high school with. Like we did high school together. We would go to her house and we got in trouble for having parties there. And then, you know, we went to college, we graduated college. We've seen them at weddings and like we watched them grow old and they watched us grow older too.
Yeah.
So it's just been a weird week in time in life. Just, you know, with
just
Jackie.
Rocked mystery. You a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. And then like having other people get pregnant and then watching somebody that you know that could be you, like that could be our mom or our dad passing suddenly.
Like a lot of life and death, a lot of like moments this week. Yeah. Oh my God. Totally.
Like, and then I'm turning 35 this year and there's a lot.
A lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah. How are you processing all of that? Just like the age thing and like just life and the circle of life and all that.
Honestly, I'm normally really good with this stuff, but just this week has just been, it's not too much. It's just the reality of it is very real and raw.
Mm-hmm.
That like time is passing and there's the ability to comprehend that as a concept. And then there's the actual feeling of it and the witnessing of that reality be true.
Right. Because one thing is like, you talk about it all the time and it's like, oh yeah, we're going to get old one day. Our parents are going to die one day. And then all of a sudden shit starts to happen. You're like, oh my God, we're living it. Like this is
right now.
This is it. This is what
even when we're like YOLO or like, you know, you only, you know, or we're just like, yeah, let's do it. Life is meant to be lived like full throttle. And they're just kind of like euphemisms that you say, but then it's like, no, literally like every single day is so valuable. And then that also adds a lot of pressure.
like there's only so much time. And so now I feel like overwhelm and anxiety and like paralysis of, well, I want to do this and I want to do that and I want to do this, but like life is so short. So I must have to do all of it today.
Right.
Because
but you also know that you don't have to do it all today, but at least, but maybe instead of it being an anxiety, maybe it's like an exciting thing and saying, okay, I get to do all these things now. Like now it's almost like invigorated with all the possibilities of what you can do.
Yeah. And that's like a great perspective, but
it's harder to implement
when,
that.
It feels like shit hits the fan mm-hmm. in all these different aspects. It's an overwhelming feeling to be like, oh, but tomorrow will be a new day and it'll be fine. Right. But like, today is one of those, it was like, holy shit. Like,
yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot to be a human. And there's no handbook to any of it. And everyone is just figuring it out. And that's the crazy part, is that we're all just figuring it out. I don't think anyone has ever figured it out.
Yeah. And then now I'm like trying to balance, how do I live my own life, but also be a caregiver to my parents,
mm-hmm.
who I don't want to be a caregiver for.
Right. But then also, you know, life they're not going to, they're not going to be around forever.
Exactly.
Right. It's that weird balance. And do you do this? I do this thing where I feel like everyone's going to die tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. I think about every single day. I'm like, my parents could die today.
Yeah. Like so what I do is I always save. It's just this weird thing. Whenever I get a voicemail from someone that I love, I just save one voicemail of theirs because I'm like, if they die tomorrow, I can like go back and hear their voice. It's like, it's weird. Is that weird?
Oh no. I think about that all the time when my mom sends me voice messages and I'm like, oh, I'm going to really like that one when she's dead.
Yeah. Oh my God. Me too.
Which maybe it's,
and I'm always like, I'm going to miss when she does this. Like, even if it's annoying, I'm like, I'm going to miss her narcissism. I really am.
Yes. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Which I think
I say that with love, mom. Don't, because I know she listens. Yeah.
Oh shit. Okay. Well, and now my mom's going to hear this.
No, she won't.
Yes, she will. Anytime I tell you anything, I just assume you're going to tell your mom and your mom's going to tell my mom. And every single time.
My mom actually listens to the show. She's like my only supporter in my family. So, she is. She's like the first one to comment like, "Hi, Mika, that was such a good show. You're so inspiring. I love you so much." I'm like, I'm going to miss that one day.
Yeah, that was a really good accent of her.
Oh, thank you.
I'm not very good at them. Well, then maybe this is good for her to hear too. One of the things that I've been working on in the last 2 months since Oaxaca, I read a book about a holistic psychologist and like doing the work and realizing patterns and things. And I found this lesson out a lot earlier in life where, at least in my experience from my mom and I's relationship, when I was younger, around 15, there was a period of time where I stopped talking to her because she was doing things that were like incredibly toxic. And at 15 in Mexican culture, you have a quinceañera. So I had a very elaborate, high stress quinceañera, very similar to a wedding. And it was really the fulfillment of a dream for my mom of being able to have a quinceañera, because I don't think any of our moms were able to have a elaborate, beautiful quinceañera. So
yeah, my mom talks about it till this day that she just, and that's why she wants to have a very lavish wedding for each and every one of us. So yes.
Yes. And in conjunction with that high stress event, I was also hitting puberty. And after that segment, you become a woman. And so you start dating, and you start doing all these things. But ever since I was little, I've always been very independent and my parents have been separated. My dad is very trusting, very liberal, very like, you're a mini adult, you're your own human. And my mom is very control freak, control every, OCD, like every little aspect of my upbringing she wanted to control. But because of her illness and the way that life unfolded, she had to relinquish that control. My dad became my primary caregiver. We had a lot of support from my grandfather and my aunt. So like, I was very much raised independently and like community style.
Right.
And when I was 15, I'd had enough of her distrust of me and a lot of like toxic, patriarchal, misogynistic things like, well, you can't just be out at 14 at the movies. Like, what are you wearing? Who are you with? Like, are you just out there like being a whore? And I was like, yo, I'm 14 years old. I'm going to the movies. I have a curfew. I text my dad. He drops me off. He picks me up. I'm always on time. Like, I was a fucking golden child. I never did anything wrong. And yeah. I still always get this like berating of like, what are you doing? The world is bad. Like, I know you're up to something. And I was just
right.
Like, a little kid can only take so much. And as you start to have the words and the intellect and the psychology of it all, at one point I just told my dad, I was like, I can't handle this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not doing anything wrong. And this is like affecting my psyche. Like, I feel bad about myself.
And at that point, were you just like going back and forth between houses? But you were, I mean, obviously your dad was your primary. So you were just seeing her like on the weekends or however often.
Yeah.
And so maybe like her not having control over you while you were out and about, she just assumed the worst.
Always. Yeah. So I think I would stay at her house during the week and then the weekends at my dad, because at that point I was at high school and the high school was closer to her house.
Mm.
But then after the quinceañera, I was like, I have nothing else I like need to do right now with you. But like, I just want to enjoy being a fucking 15-year-old.
Yeah.
Without having.
So it wasn't you rebelling, you don't think? Like, now even looking back, you don't think it was even you being like, oh, my mom's just trying to like be, you know, strict. Like, some women would call that just being strict.
No, she was not strict. Like, some of the things that she would say to me when I look back now as an adult, I'm like, you should never say
so
that
inappropriate
to a 14-year-old child.
Yeah.
Even, or I think I said turn 15 at that point. I'm 15 years old. I'm in like the adolescence. This is when your like self-esteem is building. You need support. You don't need somebody, especially your mother, telling you that you might be these things or that you might be out there being, because like they're words in Spanish and I don't know the direct translation, but like,
right.
Andas de la putería, like,
right.
De rogona.
Right. Like, but just, that was, but do you think that obviously their upbringing had everything to do with why, sure. You know, she is the way that she is? They were, you know, four girls, but they always looked at her as almost like the male, and her father treated her like the boy.
Yeah.
And so really toughened her up, and she almost had to toughen up. So I wonder if that's also coming through as like a very male dominant, like, don't be a whore and like, don't, you know, like very our grandfather.
There's a definite part of that, like masculine energy, but I think it was also like not wanting me to maybe do or repeat mistakes that she might have made. Mm-hmm. She was in a toxic relationship with my brother's dad at like 18. She describes him like having raped her, and then they were like in a toxic relationship, and she got pregnant with my brother at, I think she was 18. And so I think seeing me become a woman and being like, you are very vulnerable to being taken advantage of.
Right.
And like projecting some of her fears, but
instead of protecting, she was pushing you away, really.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
I remember in eighth grade, she came to my, and by the way, you guys, I love my mom. Like,
right.
She's a wonderful human. This is great. But like,
we all do. Yeah.
But like, every parent has a thing where you're going to fuck up your kids. Like, I'm going to fuck up my kids in some way and bring up some trauma. So this is my experience.
And it's happened. And we're talking about this because it's currently happening. And so that's why it's just it brought up all of this. Yes.
I'm singing in choir. And mind you, my mom was always late to everything. So she shows up and I'm like singing and we're like in the church, because it's Catholic church or Catholic school. And I see her walk in the back thing because I'm like looking for her. Like, when's my mom going to show up? She's always late. She's wearing a red wig to spy on me at something that she was already supposed to come to.
Stop.
I swear to God.
Like, it's not like it's like a dance. Like, it's not like you're going to be grinding on, like, it's a choir. Like, what does she think you're going to do? Did she maybe not, maybe that was like a mistranslation. Like, maybe she thought it was something else.
So that, okay, sure. But she did that twice in eighth grade. Once was to the choir performance. And then I look at her and I'm like,
mortified. But maybe she was a backup dancer to my mom that day, and maybe, she came with her,
but
with
it
her
wasn't wig. A blue wig, it was a red
oh, shit
wig. It was a red wig.
Oh no.
Yeah. Then there was another time that she went to spy on me at the movies to make sure I wasn't being a hoe at the Bridge movie theater, and I saw her. And we were like, you know, like eighth grade, you're just kind of like standing around in a circle and it's a co-ed group, and like,
yes, of course,
just being fucking awkward.
Yes, you just stand there.
You stand there and talk, and like, you're learning how to talk to boys and like be.
Yes.
Okay. I'm literally doing nothing, and I see her because I see somebody, like, you know me, I'm always checking my surroundings. Uh-huh. I'm like looking and I see her and I'm like,
oh. Was she in a wig?
Yeah, in the same... fucking red wig.
Oh my God.
And so every time she would try to spy on me and catch me in something, I was literally doing nothing. So like, I never got in trouble. I never got caught doing anything bad.
The red wig. Why? Did you ever ask her, like, what is wrong with you?
No.
She would have freaking slapped the shit out of you.
So then it like, just like, it was an accumulation of stuff. 15, stopped talking to her. I ended up getting a boyfriend at that time. And then,
which is why she wanted to spy on you, probably.
Yep. And then
that didn't help the cause.
I think I turned like close to 16. It was like a good chunk of time I didn't talk to her.
And was she like, I don't remember this. Did she just like, was she like pinging you all the time? Like, hey, what's happening?
I think, like, I just told my dad, like, I need you to protect me right now. Cause like, this isn't good for me. Like, I need to focus on school and like volleyball and like being a kid. Yeah. And like, this is not.
And she just like let you be? Like, she just never contacted you?
I think I told her, I was like, I just don't want to see you. Like, I need time away from you.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
No, I don't want to go to your house. I'm old enough now to make my own decisions. Like, I don't want to visit you. I don't remember this. I don't.
And then how long did that last for?
I wanna say it was 6 months. It might have been shorter, but.
But you felt like enough time had passed and then you started reaching out to her again?
And then it was like, okay, now time is like, you respect me a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a grown up. You can't just fucking spy on me and like,
yeah,
like I'm an idiot.
We should, by the way, just like sneak up on them when they're out and about with a red wig. We should just come with red wigs.
And be like, what are you doing? Rona, puta. Puta. Under the puta.
Oh, and so yeah. Are you having those feelings again now of just like, I need to like distance myself from you?
Well, this week I had that feeling, but up and like in going back to the book that I was reading about doing the work, it's like, I didn't realize. So when I think of somebody having trust issues, I think of you being suspicious of everybody or not trusting somebody off the bat. Right? Mm-hmm. Like immediately you meet somebody and you're like, I don't trust you. You have to prove, you have to earn your trust.
Yeah.
I'm pretty much the opposite. I give everybody 100% trust until you show signs of it. And then even then I'm still pretty forgiving, but I've realized that my trust issues manifest as independence.
Okay.
So I don't trust that you will do the things that I need in order to be taken care of. So I will just take care of everything.
And you think that stems from your parents' relationships even, or no?
Not so much relationships. It's definitely mom and dad. Like mom and dad were busy with their own divorce, their own trauma. My mom was busy with her own health issues. I'm pretty sure my dad has Asperger's. He's busy with like just the day-to-day of like how his brain is configured.
Right.
That, like, I constantly was managing up my parents all the time.
Right.
Mom, I've got a thing. Mom, don't be late. Dad, sign this paper. Dad, tuition's due. I've got volleyball practice today at 5:30. Make sure you pick me up by 5:00.
Right. You were just like, constantly like, managing them.
Constantly managing. And so now I'm realizing that I don't trust my parents.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was plenty of times when I needed them to parent me. And that doesn't mean like disciplinary, but like to be taken care of, but they were busy with their own things.
Right.
Or I needed them to model healthy boundaries and they both lacked that.
Mm-hmm.
So there was constant things where I would watch my mom draw a boundary with my brother, who's an addict, and not fulfill it.
Right.
So I learned that when mom says something, it's not actually true because Jimmy can just get manipulated and walked all over. So learning to draw healthy boundaries in my own relationships, both like romantic and friendships, was like wishy-washy, like, but it also makes me the other way because I'm so true to my word and I get pissed off when people don't keep their word.
Right. So what, I'm assuming you talked to your therapist about this?
I haven't actually talked to her about this particular topic yet.
Because how do you, I mean, I know you're very, very self-aware. So it's like, but do you still feel like you hold resentment towards them?
My parents?
Yeah.
No. I learned to forgive my parents at a very young age because I realized that at one point your parents were the age they're at now.
Right.
Like at one point they were 18 years old, had no idea what they were doing. At one age they were 23 years old, had no idea what they were doing. And like,
right.
At every age, I'm like, no, but no parent knows what they're doing. They're just human.
Exactly.
So like I've forgiven them for everything, but that doesn't mean that the effects of what occurred does not have impact, right? Like there's still consequences of my upbringing. And
again, but things that are happening, like, you know, in real time, are you getting upset with it? Are you understanding by it? Are you like, how are you dealing with it in real time?
Yeah. So this week my mom said something because I had entrusted her with how I was feeling, and she just got upset and threw it in my face and said like the world's meanest things that you don't say to your daughter. And I was pissed and I was hurt. I don't know if I've forgiven her for it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's again, one of those things where going to like back to narcissism is that I'm going through my own shit and somehow it gets turned into her shit.
Right. When it's like all you wanted is support. Have you just told her that? Have you been like, Mom, I just want you to love me and support me. Like, that's all I need from you.
No.
Maybe you should.
Sorry, Zippy says agreeing with you.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. She's like, bitch. Like, maybe it's as simple as that. Maybe it's not always having a response, always having, maybe it's as simple as like channeling almost like your inner child of like, what does the child need? The child needs love and support.
Yeah.
I just need you to.
But then again, it's me managing up. I have to tell you how to be a good parent.
I know, but maybe put that aside for a second and just be like, this is just what I need. And if you can't give that to me, then maybe we should just like, I don't know, not like take a step back, but just give each other a little time to
breathe. I don't know. That's kind of where I'm at right now, where I'm just like, I'm really pissed.
Mm-hmm.
And it sucks to have somebody that you love and then be like, oh, I can't trust you. And you just proved to me
why.
Yeah.
We've had these issues.
This is why I don't tell everybody everything, because I am afraid that people will throw it back in my face.
Right. Which I think, you know, that that's not true. But I mean, like, people that love you, I love you, my sisters love you, yeah. You know, it just sucks when it comes from like, you're the sole person that's supposed to be like your protector.
Right.
In this physical world.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
go ahead. I was just saying, like, imagine the parents that molest their own kids.
Oh my God.
The parents that, you know, cause major physical harm and traumas and killed their children. It's like you had one job and it was to protect these kids, you know, and it's so disgusting and it's so heartbreaking. Obviously, that's nothing compared to your mom. I'm just saying that, like, yeah. Sometimes it just doesn't work like that.
Yeah. And that's fine. But I'm like actually learning to be upset about things instead mm-hmm. of just, again, no healthy boundaries, right? Like in the past, I'd be like, oh, whatever. My mom's just being
my mom. Yeah.
Yeah, just being my mom and I'll just ignore it because, oh, poor her. But now I'm like, no, this is not fucking okay. I'm not okay with this. And I shouldn't have to put up with it. And it's okay to voice that, like, this is a boundary of mine I don't want crossed. If you're going to behave like this, I can't engage with you.
But I need to be treated. It just took 35 years, but I'm proud of you for, for saying then speaking up.
You can't talk to your daughter like this. It doesn't matter that you're first generation American and you went through all this trauma as a kid. Then go to fucking therapy and deal with it. Don't keep projecting it on to the next generation. It's not okay. And
oh God.
I was having this conversation with Joanna, who is one of our good friends, and she's also similar to us. Her parents are from the Philippines and they had horrific, you know, things happen to them too. And like, we always will talk about our parents because we feel like we're the new generation that is trying to fix all of the traumas that we've inherited and
the
cultural negative habits.
Mm-hmm.
And so I texted her that night that my mom pissed me off, and she, you know, we're like psychoanalyzing it all. And she was like, can we just make a promise to each other that if we ever witness one of us being this way to our own children, like, we'll slap each other? And I was like, abso-fucking-lutely. Like,
yeah,
please fucking call me out.
Yeah. Because I think maybe like you do start to change a little bit when you get older, you know? I think when you start to get older, you're like, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I hope we don't become our parents in like the best way possible.
Right.
Again, sorry, mom. But like, you know, you want parts of them, the good parts, obviously. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like the older people get, like,
and I'm not even a mom yet. I can't imagine.
And yeah.
I can't imagine talking to somebody that I birthed and being mean to them on purpose.
Oh, I'm mean to Piper all the time. No, I know. I know what you're saying.
Like, if I deserved it, sure.
No, I know. I know what you're saying. I don't know. And then a part of me, yeah, a part of me feels bad for her, that it's like she's just dealing and doesn't know how to process her own trauma. And she's just totally projecting that on you.
Right.
And she just needs a lot of help. I know. Yeah. It's really so bad.
Yeah. But we're not the only ones. Do you follow Fierce Me Too on Instagram?
I don't think so.
Well, here's a plug for them. But they have all these like memes about being first generation Latinas, and they like post things. And one of the things they posted recently was like, it's okay to draw healthy boundaries with your parents. Or like, there's a culture of like the females in a Latin family do everything and the boys don't have to do anything.
Yes.
So it's like something like, it's okay, like, that you're mad that at 14 years old, you had to call and do the translating, even though you had no idea about
anything.
Like, all of these things that are very normal in first generation, particularly Latino households, where it's like, you're doing all of these things and there's survival mechanisms. And we don't realize them until we're older. And we're like, dude, that's some fucked up shit.
Yeah. But then in a way, that's also what's breeded all these multimillionaires, because these are the ones that at fucking 14 years old, that having to, you know, translate shit and call and do the bills and pay this and learn about mortgages and learn about, you know, real estate. It's like, well, in a way, yeah, in a way, it's like, I mean, I don't know, maybe that's sort of part of the cycle. And then guess what? And then that third generation that doesn't have to do those fucking calls at 14, and they're just out fucking just, you know, living the best life at 14 and shopping, then they end up ruining the business.
Yeah.
And that's why.
But it is interesting. So el abuelo Joaquin, la abuela Maria, my dad, and me. So I'm fourth generation. And I don't think I'm fucking anything up.
Yeah, you're definitely not.
So maybe it's like third generation gets screwed over and then the ones after that can redeem themselves?
I think it just depends. I mean, I think sometimes even second generation, depending on how big the wealth is, they ruin it and they spend all the money. They don't know how to reinvest it. They don't know enough about the business. And I have one particular friend who his parents were, he's first generation. Parents came when they were like, I think in their 20s, had zero money, ended up investing in commercial real estate, are now massive. And they've now had the kids involved. He's probably a little older than me. He's probably 40, in his 40s. But he has now, I mean, probably quadrupled their money and investments, and now is part owner of the Kings and is now investing in movies. And like, he invested in Oppenheimer. Like, he's everywhere now. So he's, I feel like, an anomaly to so many that don't know how to reinvest and, you know, be smart with money.
Or is that just like parents that learned?
But he also saw the struggle of his parents and what they came, you know, how he was raised. He was little and he didn't have money, you know, and then he saw his parents gain that wealth. I don't know. Maybe it's like, I don't know, but they're also Indian. So maybe it's like a cultural thing. They're all very close. Yeah. He ended up buying the complex that they first lived in when they had no money. Cool. And that's he was like surprised them. And he's like, here you go. Now you own it. Yeah. Like, oh my God, to be able to do that, huh?
Yeah. That is really cool.
But they must be good parents.
Yeah. Well, maybe. And not to say that our parents aren't good parents.
I know. I'm kidding.
Right. Like, I think that is one thing that I don't think people put these pieces together, where you can have fucked up shit happen to you in your childhood and still have had a good childhood. You can have parents who did fucked up shit and still have amazing parents.
Totally. I love my parents. I wouldn't trade them for the world.
Me neither.
Yeah.
I think they're fucking rock stars.
Yeah.
Also some shit to love.
Yeah, totally. There's absolutely moments like we talked about. And again, we're going to be the same thing. Yes. Our kids are going to be like, oh my God, my mom was so embarrassing. My mom was
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah, yes. But
it's all part of it.
It is.
Everyone's going to have trauma of some sort. But I wish that the older generation would just like accept that as a thing, you know?
Yeah.
Instead of being like, no, well, you're so soft. You're like, suck it up.
Yeah. I know. I get that. All right. Should we move on to something more lighthearted?
Upbeat? Yeah. Let's talk about it.
So Briley and I celebrated our 6-year anniversary.
Oh my God. Already?
I know. And we sort of like, we had to look back in our photos of when our 6-year was because we didn't have a date because we're not married. So normally you celebrate your wedding anniversary.
Yeah.
But for us, it was like, well, you never officially asked me to be your girlfriend. It's
and
a weird thing.
When you guys were like, all of a sudden you're like, we're moving in together. And I was like, wait, what?
I know.
I didn't even know you were official.
I know. It took us a while. Yeah. I don't know. That whole thing was very weird.
It was.
The fact that we're still together is like, huh?
Like, wait, you're still dating that Riley guy? Oh, yeah, exactly. Oh, you got engaged?
Yeah, exactly. So I had to scroll back. I found our first date because I took a selfie, of course. Thank God for that selfie.
Yep.
Because I wanted to show my sisters what I was wearing on my date. And that's how I knew. I'm like, oh, that's our first date. I'm like, so that's going to be our anniversary. So it's July 28th. So Riley, we have like a little tradition now. We eat caviar on our anniversary. So he took us to this place called Knife and Pleat at South Coast Plaza, and it's like the only fancy-ish restaurant here in Orange County. And so they got like a Michelin star or something.
Fancy-ish for Riley's taste.
Yeah, and for Orange County.
Okay.
Well. Yeah, because it got like a Michelin. Like, no, we don't really have Michelin in Orange County.
Yeah,
it's like Mastro's is like, you know, fancy. But like this is like, you know, they don't have white tablecloths, but it would be like a white tablecloth kind of moment. It's very like high end. So we dropped off Piper at school and then we went and had lunch there. And I didn't know, but they had this whole CBD lunch.
Oh.
And it was like a whole prefixed menu. And basically it was like CBD infused. So that you're gonna pretty much like not get high at the end of the meal, but you know, feel loosey goosey and relaxed. So that was interesting. So we ended up doing it and I really didn't feel like I felt any different. I mean, it was pretty pricey. It was like $200 per person.
Well, yeah. Cause CBD doesn't have any THC in it. It's just like for the anti-inflammatory benefits.
Right. And then, you know what the annoying part is they're like, oh, this is going to either give you energy or relax you. And it's like, fucking pick one. Like what? Like that's where I'm like, how is, oh no, no. He went to Riley's pen. He goes, this is going to give you energy and you're going to feel this. And then on the same dropper, same fucking thing. He goes to mine. He goes, you're going
to
feel really relaxed and really like, but, and Riley was like, wait, so
what?
We're going to feel different things with the same like droplet. It's just weird. But I did end up taking like the best nap afterwards. Okay. So maybe I did feel it. I was very tired. So maybe it actually was, or it was the champagne. I don't know. I can't really.
Bit of both. Did you bang it out after? Cause that always causes a nap feeling.
Did we what?
Did you bang it out after?
No.
Oh.
It was like midday. We're not really midday or banger outers.
That's right. You guys are morning people.
No, we're like nighttime people.
Nighttime people. Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes in the morning, but it's very, very rare. And it has to be like before the sun really, really comes up.
Yeah.
Because then it's awkward.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And it's funny, you know, now we're talking, you know what? Let's just save this for After Dark. Let's save this for Patreon. But stick around, guys. We're out of time, but we're going to keep the conversation going on Patreon. Thank you for being here. I love you.
You're
always very open and honest and educated. And we just love having you on. But everybody, go check out Patreon for part two.
Bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye. Remember, stay humble and stay hungry.
Lucky. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.